Thank you so much for joining us today at Life Church. We have an exciting program for you. Here at Life Church, our mission is to equip people for an extraordinary life in Christ through God's Word, Spirit, and relationships. We truly believe that God can transform your life as you listen to His Word. If you'd like to know more about Life Church, visit our website at lifechurchag.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We hope you enjoy today's program. Well, good morning, everybody. In just a moment, I want to talk to you about lost things. First of all, we want to welcome those that are watching online this morning. Would you welcome all of those that are watching us online? We're glad that you could be with us for the second week of our missions emphasis as we wrap things up today. I also want to say thank you on a couple of accounts. First of all, I want to let you know that last week when Kevin Ramsby was here, that we took the second largest offering in the history of Life Church last week for Kevin Ramsby. Kudos to all of you. Way to go. Amazing. And so the Ramsbys are just so blessed this week because of the generosity of Life Church. And we are really going to put a dent with our giving to Kevin to that 8 mile area of Detroit. And I really believe that God is going to break out in revival in that place. I really do. I mean, wasn't that powerful last weekend? And then also, I want to just say thank you to your overwhelming response to our first missions dinner this past Wednesday night. We had over 170 people. We filled the study center. We had a great time. We heard from a great speaker. If you weren't there and you missed it, our theme was, you know, we had the Chicago pizzeria thing going on, and so we thought, you know, our guest missionary was from Chicago. So Pastor Brock and I dressed up as the Blues Brothers on Wednesday night. So if you missed it, this is what it looks like. There we are in front of, we're on a mission from Godwall. And then we sang the Blues Brothers rendition of Sweet Home Chicago and had a great time. So see, you never know when you don't show up at stuff. I'm telling you, you don't know what you're going to miss. I do unpredictable things. And so it was a great time. Thank you for coming out. We heard Pastor Spencer Jones share his story of how God took him from being a farm boy in southern Missouri and transplanting him to the inner city of Chicago. He had never even been in an inner city. And God spoke to him. God led him to go to the inner city of Chicago, not just any place in the inner city, but the worst neighborhood in Chicago. He's been ministering there for the last 40 plus years and has done an amazing work in that neighborhood of leading people to Christ, transforming lives. And so we got to hear his story Wednesday, and I tell you, it was really, really moving. So on your way out today, I want to encourage you to do something. The wall that you just saw that we had our friend Nathan build us as a set wall for Wednesday night's missions dinner, it says, "On a Mission from God." I love that. And it's out there in the lobby. If you didn't notice it when you came in, after the service, take your phone and take a picture of yourself in front of that wall. And then if you're on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or any of those things, post a picture of yourself against that wall and let all your friends know, hey, just want you to know, I'm on a mission from God to transform lives. Because isn't that what we're supposed to be about as Christians? That's our goal, is to see lives transformed. And that brings us to our involvement in missions. If you've got your Bible this morning, I want you to open it to the book of Luke, chapter 15. As I talk to you for a few minutes about lost things. Luke chapter 15, just a couple of verses, beginning with verse 8. Jesus is telling a parable here. In fact, in chapter 15, Jesus tells three parables about lost things. We're going to focus on the parable of the lost coin. Verse 8 says, "Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and she loses one. Will she not light a lamp? Will she not sweep the entire house, searching carefully, searching diligently until she finds it? And then when she finds it, she will call in all of her friends, she'll call all of her neighbors, and she will say, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin.'" And then Jesus says this, "In the same way as this woman rejoices over finding her lost coin," notice what he says, There is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. There's joy. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you, if you lost a penny sometime today, either when you got in your car, it fell out in between the seats, or you get home and you realize that the change that was once in your pocket's not there anymore, and you realize you are missing a penny, how many of you would tear your car apart or tear your house upside down to try and find this one single lost penny? Let me see a show of hands this morning. Anybody? Yeah, I didn't think so. I didn't think that you would turn your house upside down just to find this lost penny. In fact, here is my suspicion. My suspicion is that if this was a nickel, you wouldn't turn your house upside down. My suspicion is if this was a quarter, you wouldn't turn your house upside down. It's just not worth it. In fact, probably if this was a silver dollar, you might think about it for a moment, but you probably still wouldn't do it. However, if this coin that you had lost was one of those gold doubloons, you know, that went down in the ships in the 17, 1800s, all of that lost treasure stuff, and maybe, say, for example, you came across one of those doubloons and it was in your possession, and this was one of those golden doubloons worth thousands of dollars, and you misplaced it, then I think every hand in the house would go up because you would be tearing your house apart to try and find that thing, right? And the question becomes, why would we look for one coin and not another? And the answer is obvious, because they don't have the same value to us. You see, what we look for, what we search for in life, all comes down to the value that we place on something. As human beings, we place more value on certain things than we do other things. And the intriguing question that Jesus is asking in this parable is this: why was this woman so concerned about one lousy coin? Why would she be so concerned about this coin? Because for most of us, when we lose coins, we don't care. And the only way to discover the answer is to understand Jewish culture. In that day, many of the women, the Jewish women, wore a headdress. And that headdress contained 10 coins on it. And every one of those coins was worth a day's wage. That headdress was literally that woman's marriage dowry. In other words, it contained all that she had saved up so that she could get married. So literally, each of those 10 coins in that headdress represented her future. Therefore, Jewish women rarely, if ever, took off that headdress. They even slept with it. So you can imagine that when this woman wakes up one morning and she discovers that she has lost one of the coins in her headdress, she is frantic to find it. Why? Because losing one of those coins means that she has just put her future in jeopardy. And because of what it represented, this woman placed great value on that coin. That's why in this parable, Jesus said she did everything she could. She turned her house upside down to try and find this coin. The point is, it was valuable to her. Now, in this parable, it's important for us to identify who Jesus is speaking to. Because when we understand who Jesus is telling these parables to in Luke chapter 15, and we understand their viewpoints, it makes the parable live a little bit more for us. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And here is the point that Jesus is trying to make to them in the parable of the lost coin. You see, the Pharisees viewed certain people as worthless. As they looked around the landscape of their society, there were the haves and there were the have-nots. There were people that those Pharisees, those religious leaders, deemed worthy and worthwhile and valuable. And then there was a whole bunch of people that they didn't have any use for whatsoever. Those people that were not worth their time, not worth their effort to pursue or to share God's word with. They were people that literally they didn't think were even deserving of God's love and attention. So they looked at those people and they say, these people are not valuable. They are not worth searching for. But I want you to know that that was their assessment of those people. That was not God's assessment of those people. And so the question this parable asks us today is this: do we see as valuable what God sees as valuable? That's really the heart of the matter this morning. Do you see in your life as valuable what God sees as valuable? Why do I ask that question? Because in America, we have some really wonky values. I mean, we value some things that are like ridiculous. For example, did you know that the American bald eagle egg is more protected than a human fetus in American law? Yeah, that's a crazy, wonky value, isn't it? In other words, if you destroy a human fetus, if you go out and get an abortion, which happens every day in America, what is the penalty for that? There is no penalty. But let me tell you, if you run across the egg of an American bald eagle and you destroy it, you're going to prison for 5 years. That's what I call misplaced values. And how do we get all of these misplaced values in America? Because we don't value what God values. So could it be that we, even as Christians, are sometimes unintentionally guilty of being like those Pharisees and those religious leaders because we're so busy living our hectic American lives that we are totally unaware, we are totally unmoved by the plight of people around the world that are suffering and are very, very far from God. The poor and the hungry, people living in the slums, AIDS orphans, there's over 3 million of them in Africa alone, boy soldiers, those that have been enslaved by sex trafficking, those around the world that have been blinded by the false gods and religions of this world, who are living in abject poverty, places that where there is no justice whatsoever. Have we become blind to all of that? You see, it's easy to be blind to it because we're not exposed to these realities that the majority, by the way, of the world live with on a daily basis. So it's easy for us to suffer from the out of sight, out of mind syndrome. But as believers, as children of the Most High God, the Bible is very clear that every one of us in this room has a responsibility to search for the things that are valuable to God, and that's people. And it doesn't matter where they live on the planet. And it doesn't matter that we don't see their plight every day. We have to make ourselves aware of it. This morning, I want to introduce you to the lost in our world. I want you to understand their plight. Currently, there are 6,741 unreached people groups still left on the planet. That translates, get this, to 3.1 billion people. Does that number astound you? It astounds me. There are 3.1 billion people on planet Earth that have not had an adequate presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't even know who Jesus is. That represents 42% of the world. 42% of our world. 40% of those 3.1 billion people live in an area called the 1040 window. It's a narrow rectangular box. It's defined by 10 degrees north of the equator to 40 degrees north of the equator, and it's bordered on the east side. It goes from West Africa to on the west side all the way across to Asia. And in that 1040 box or window, 40% of the people who have not heard about Jesus live there. This morning, I want to take you on a little video journey around the world and through the nations and introduce you to lost people. Watch this. Thank you. I don't know about you, but it's hard to fathom how most of the world lives and the condition that most of our world is in. That song said, this is an emergency, and it really is. You know what I find interesting about this parable is that it tells us in the parable that this woman had to literally light a lamp to find the coin because the darkness was too great. Now, that's not unusual because when we look for things in our house, we often flip the light switch on, right, to try and find something in a dark place. But here's what's interesting or unique about her situation. In that day, in order to light a lamp, she needed what? Oil. And oil was expensive. The point is this. It cost her something to be able to light the lamp so that she could see to search for her coin. And in the very same way, when we talk about missions, lighting a lamp to reach lost people in our world is costly. Missionaries don't get on the missions field for free. It costs to send missionaries. It costs to do search and rescue missions, right? I'm astonished that when a person goes missing in America, think of any neighborhood in America. Think about your neighborhood. If there were to be a child that were to go missing all of a sudden, what would happen in your neighborhood? Well, the police would be called. The fire department would be called. Rescue teams would be called. And they would turn your town upside down, and they would spend untold amounts of money to search for that child or to search for that adult. Doesn't matter who it is. Because that's what we do in America. I remember when we were living in Bolingbrook, the famous case of Drew and Stacy Peterson was happening in our midst, where Drew Peterson's wife, Stacy, he eventually went to jail, and you've heard the story because it was a national news story. And she went missing, and I can tell you because our church was involved in searching for her. In fact, I ended up doing her funeral. We were involved in that community-wide effort, not just for a day or 2 days or a week or a month. That thing went on for months and months and months. I can't tell you how much money was spent searching for her. Because life is important. And rescue operations are costly. In fact, here are some interesting facts. The U.S. National Park Service every year spends over $5 million just to rescue lost hikers in the national parks. $5 million to find people that have gotten themselves lost in the national parks. Here's another one. The U.S. Coast Guard rescues an average of 114 people a day who have been lost at sea at an annual cost of $680 million a year. That's a lot of coin, $680 million. Do you know how much the church spent last year to rescue lost people in our world? $450 million. That's $230 million less than what the Coast Guard spent to rescue people who were lost at sea. Here's another interesting statistic. Last year, Americans spent $23 billion, with a B, billion dollars on dog food. How much did I say we spent on missions last year as a church? $450 million. And we spent $23 billion on dog food. Last year, the average American spent $1,100 going to Starbucks. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't feed Fido. Fido needs to eat. We love Fido, right? I'm not saying don't go to Starbucks or Pastor Kevin would kill me and then probably fire me. Or fire me and then kill me and then bury my body out back somewhere so that you would have to come and search for me, right? I'm not giving those statistics to say don't feed your dog. It's important you feed your dog. Go to Starbucks, have a ball. What I'm saying is this. What Jesus was saying in this parable is, I want you to value what my Father values. I want you to be as passionate about lost people, about missions, as you are about your pets and your Starbucks coffee. That's all he's saying. You see, the woman in this parable didn't care how much it cost her to find her coin. cost was immaterial. It was valuable. It represented her future. She wanted it back. And the question for us today is, do we feel that way about lost people in our world? The reality is, most of us cannot go to the mission field. We may get there because we have the privilege to go on a missions trip at some point in our life, and I hope every one of you get to do that because it is life-changing. But most of us are never going to get to the mission field. Most of us aren't called to be full-time missionaries. So sometimes we may think, what can I do? Well, there are two things that you can do. Number one, you can pray. And number one, you can pay so that we can send missionaries who are called to the mission field to take the light of the gospel to those that are lost, to send missionaries to search for these people, to make sure that they have an adequate presentation of the gospel. You say, well, what good can the little bit that I can give to missions do? Well, it can do a whole lot more than you think, because no matter what you think of the American dollar, still overseas, the American dollar is king. It goes a long way. For example, 100 U.S. dollars, that's not a whole lot to us, but 100 U.S. dollars equals 2.2 million dams in Vietnam. Now, the average cost of a meal in Vietnam, very, very poor country, very war-torn country in horrible condition, is 20 dams, which is 20 cents. Well, take $100 and divide it by 20 cents. That's a whole lot of meals that we could provide for people in Vietnam, right? The question this parable raises is, what value do we place on lost people? Do we value the same things that God values? You see, he wants us to be passionate about searching for people the way the woman searched for this coin, leaving no stone unturned. So are we passionate enough about doing that, that we would be willing to make a sacrifice on a monthly basis in order to see that happen? I want to introduce you to a few of our Life Church missionaries. These are missionaries that you support with your missions dollars, that are overseas, that are ministering in lands that you and I will probably never get to, but they are searching for lost people. They are bringing the light of the gospel to them. So we showed some of these on Wednesday night, showed a bunch on Wednesday night, and here's three more people that we didn't show on Wednesday night that you get to be introduced to this morning. These are your missionaries. Watch this.
Hey Life Church, my name is Jeremy Skinner. My family and I have been serving in Indonesia since 2015, reaching out to college campuses in Yogyakarta, Indonesia's university capital. We've had some incredible opportunities to share the gospel in the world's largest Muslim population. We've had students that have incredible questions when they hear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I'll never forget the first time I was able to lead a Muslim to the Lord. We were sitting in KFC, and he had so many questions in the past. Something about this time was different. It was like his eyes had been open. I answered some of the same questions, but I could tell that he was ready to follow Jesus. So I asked him, I said, Danur, are you ready to follow Jesus? And he knew that he would lose his family, his friends, he might lose everything. But he said that he was ready to follow Jesus. So, of course, we're sitting in KFC with Muslims all around, so I invited him to go back to our English center, and I gave him a Bible and prayed the sinner's prayer with him, and then I laid hands on him and prayed for him and for his family. And I'll never forget the moment when I said amen, and then Danur turned and looked at me and said, Jeremy, I want to pray for you. And he put his hand on my shoulder and prayed for me. And I almost lost it in that moment. But man, this is what we've been able to do. And we believe that students like Danur are going to be called to missions. They're going to be called to go out to the unreached people groups, to go to places that we're not even able to go. We'll see Indonesia become the first majority Muslim country come to faith in Jesus. This is what your prayers and support are doing in Indonesia. Thank you so much for helping to send us as your hands extended to the ends of the earth. God bless you.
Hello, Pastor Kevin and Maria and the whole Life Church family. Rich Franz in here from South Africa, just dropping a note, giving you a little update, what you've been a part of. And I'm so thankful for you guys. You guys have been a part of this from the ground zero, before Michelle and I even landed here. Pastor Kevin got on board with us. You guys have been founding members with us. So now we've been here 13 years full time, living here in the suburbs of Johannesburg, working in the most desperate, hardcore communities here in Africa. Five main areas we work in, and one of them is so close to God's heart, is working in these communities with the desperate moms that find themselves in hardcore situations, and that's with our Impact Baby Rescue Center. Here, because of the issues that women face of polygamy and abuse and abandonment, you know, 3 to 4 newborn babies are literally abandoned and thrown away in the dumpsters, left in the streets, thrown in the rivers, every single day in the city of Johannesburg, 3 to 4 a day. And so we have a team that's out there canvassing the hospitals, working in the clinics weekly and daily. Over 400 women a week are hearing the message that there is hope, there is a place for them, there's a place for their child. And in Jesus' name, don't harm your child. We will help find an adoptive forever family for that baby. And so we have a team that's out there with our Impact Baby Rescue. And you guys have been a part of that day in, day out. We also have our Impact Kids preschools right in the heart of these communities. You know, in an environment where only 30% of the kids that start grade 1 finish grade 12, only 30% make it through to grade 12. This is an area where education is their only hope. And so we target these kids at the young age, 2, 3, 4, 5, in the preschool ages, to give them hope and future and a potential so that they can, you know, succeed in school. And it's making a huge impact. We have over 4 schools right now, over 350 children daily in these schools, over 750 meals served every single day. It's all thanks to you and for your involvement with us. We have our great interns that come and serve with us anywhere from 6 months or 12 months, that year abroad program. Continue to send more folks. We've had some from Life Church come and hang out with us for the year. It's been powerful, where they learn about leadership, about missions, about language class and leadership class. More and more students, we have over 20 students involved with that this year alone. And our high schools, we're in the public high schools during school hours, able to teach in those classrooms a life-saving message about leadership, about saving their potential, and the harms against issues of peer pressure, drugs, alcohol, abortion, and sex that can steer them or rob them of their opportunities of God-given potential. And so over 650 students we spend weekly with them in these schools, in the classrooms, giving them that message of hope. And again, with all of our teams of visiting mission trips and teams out in the communities, you know, we have a huge evangelistical effort going forth every single day. Evangelism is happening in these communities. Last year, we were in front of over 53,000 people, just face-to-face conversations of giving them that life message that Jesus is there for them, hasn't forgotten them, and has a purpose and a plan for them. And we saw over 10,617 people give their hearts and life to the Lord. All this, not because of us, but because of us together. Only together can we really join hands, join forces, and make an impact here on this world, there in America, there in Illinois, as well as here throughout Africa. So thank you again. We love you guys. We hope to see you soon.
Hey, Life Church, we are the Owens family, and we are missionaries to Swaziland, Africa. Our ministry is called E127, and we just want to take a moment to thank you for being our longest supporting partners.
For the past 15 years, Life Church has been supporting our ministry. It was 15 years ago, before you guys expanded the church, you guys were actually getting in the middle of a growth time there. And we came and spoke. We were getting ready to raise money to build 3 churches in Kenya. And we came and spoke, and your church and those 2 services raised enough money to pay for all 3 churches. Those churches then went and built an additional 20 churches on their own. Over the past 15 years, we've had the privilege of getting to plant 29 churches. We're going back on March 23rd, and we're going to be starting the 30th church now, and it's going to be launching into Mozambique. We can't thank you enough for all the sacrificial giving that this church has given to us over the years, and just being on our side and helping us. Not only do we plant churches, but we also, at each location, we feed the local children. These kids don't get to eat unless we provide them food, and so we provide them one meal a day out of the local church. And through that ministry, we've also started orphan homes. We have an orphan home in Kenya now. Over 300 children. It's totally self-sustaining. We have a Christian school there with over 350 kids in it. And right now in Swaziland, we have the orphan home with 29 kids that we're currently taking care of. And through this ministry, at each location, we're able to feed between 200 to 500 kids every day out of each church. Through these church plants, it's not just about putting up buildings. It's about reaching people. A neat story, we have a young man named Mbuso who came out of one of the local communities to help us with our church plant in Helehele. Mbuso was one of the star athletes there. Yeah, he was a soccer player for one of the top in the region. Got injured one day, and so his mom took him to the witch doctor. Witch doctor started giving him some drugs and told him that if you quit taking these drugs, then you're gonna die. So Mbuso became a drug addicted teenager. He was partially crippled all the way through into his adulthood now. And Pastor Mudisi prayed over him at the work site. He received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior, completely healed, drug-free, serving the Lord. We started a Bible training class there at the church. He's gone through the program for the last couple of years. Now he's a deacon at the church, and he's serving faithfully every day. We just got a WhatsApp pictures of him this past weekend. He just got married. So we're excited for him, and it's just seeing what God's doing in these people's lives. A couple weeks ago, the church, before the service, Pastor Kevin had people come forward and for prayer, said if you needed a financial breakthrough, a healing, anything like that, to come forward and be prayed with. And we were going through a real struggle financially with the ministry, even to the point where we didn't know what was going to happen with this next church. And a member of your congregation came up to us after the service and handed us the money to finish the church in completion. And I just thank you for allowing to have a church that has a heart for missions and that you've instilled that in your church. And we can't thank you enough for all you've done and for your partnership. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your support of all the missionaries from Life Church. And those are just a few of the over 30 missionaries and missionary organizations that we support here. There's one final truth I want to show you in this parable, and I want you to notice as you look at the parable what the response of the woman was when she finally discovers her lost coin. It says that she experienced incredible joy. Can I tell you this morning that when you become a partner with God in missions, when you begin to see people's lives touched and transformed and changed through your missions giving, there is a joy that is indescribable that will come into your life, because there is nothing in this world like doing kingdom work. That's why every one of us needs to be involved in going beyond the walls of our comfortable relationships and our environments to search for lost things. And that starts right here locally in our own backyard. That starts in your family. That starts in your neighborhood. That starts in your school, your workplace. I love our missions theme and what's going to be the theme of Life Church for this year. Beyond the walls, what happens here doesn't stay here. I love that. Life Church, you have no idea how blessed you are. And I know that God is doing incredible things in your life. There are so many stories that I hear every single week about people that have been healed, people that have been set free, people that have been saved, people that have had miraculous answers to prayer. All of this good stuff is going on in here, but we don't want to keep it in here. We want to take it out there. And we're going to take it out there, but we also want to take it not only locally, but we want to take it globally. You see, the problem with the Pharisees and the religious leaders was that they had tunnel vision. All they could see was their own little comfortable world, and they never expanded out beyond that. They never got beyond the walls of the synagogue. So as we close this Missions Emphasis Week, and it's been a great week, I'm going to ask you to do something today. I'm going to ask you to make a faith promise commitment to help us to support our missionaries and our missionary organizations. We need to raise well over $100,000 this weekend in faith promise commitments in order to be able to continue to help all the missionaries and all the organizations that need and want our help. And I believe with all of my heart that we can do that. Why? This is a generous church. This is a missions church. And so we're going to do that. All of the money that we raise this weekend will be used to help all of our missionaries. So as a church, we're an Assembly of God church. We help a lot of Assembly of God missionaries, but a lot of the missionaries and the missionary projects and organizations on our list are beyond the Assemblies of God too, because we're not just into helping Assembly of God missionaries. We help all those that we've built relationships with. And so many of the people that we've built relationships with are not a part of the Assemblies of God. It doesn't matter. What we raise this weekend is going to go to help all of them. And so here's how it works. If you are unfamiliar with the concept, and I believe that maybe many of you are, of what a missions faith promise commitment is, let me just share that with you. A faith promise commitment works like this. In a few moments, you see that we placed throughout the sanctuary these cards. And we're going to ask you to make a faith commitment to missions this year. We call it a faith commitment because what we're going to do is we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a number. To say, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to do for missions over this next 12 months? The faith portion is this. We are believing in faith that as God enables us, in other words, as God brings resources our way, okay, that we're going to be able to fulfill this commitment. Life Church will never ask you for this. We're not going to come knocking at your door and say, hey, you said you were going to. No, this is between you and God, all right? You are stepping out in faith to make a commitment. Get this, your faith missions commitment today is above your tithe. The tithe goes into the storehouse first. That's God's. Because if we take our tithe and say, oh, I want to give to help people around the world, and we take from our tithe and we give to do this, then you know what we do? We sink the ship locally. And that doesn't help our missionaries, because if this ship sinks, that's less support they're going to get. So this commitment that you're going to make today is above your tithe, all right? Can I tell you just a little story? I have been doing faith promise commitment since I was 14 years old, since I was a teenager and first got saved. Every year, I do a faith promise commitment with God. I pray, I ask the Holy Spirit to give me a number. God, what do you want me to do for missions this year? That number has increased every single year. And you know, when I was a teenager, I didn't have a job, but I wanted to be involved in missions. And so I made my faith promise commitment after I prayed and got a number from the Holy Spirit and said, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me with this. And can I tell you, it was incredible that every year, even as a teenager without a job, I was able to fulfill my faith promise commitment, because somehow, some way, God put money in my hands so that I could fulfill this. I am a believer in missions. I'm a believer in giving to missions on a regular basis. And so we're going to ask you to do that now. And so I would like you to just take this card out and just hold it in your hand. One of my favorite all-time movies is Schindler's List. And many of you have probably seen Schindler's List. If not, you need to see that movie, because it's an amazing movie. But at the end of that movie, the Allied forces roll in. And finally, the Jews are going to be delivered from this concentration camp. And there is Oskar Schindler. And there's this moving scene where all the Jews have gathered around him. And because he had saved somewhere over 1,100 Jews, they present him with a gold watch that they made from the fillings in their own teeth, out of their gratitude for what he had done for them. And as they present this to him, he breaks down in tears, because he begins to hear the reports from the Allied troops about how millions and millions of Jews have been killed. And when that news reaches his ear and they give him that gold watch, he breaks down in tears, and over again, he begins sobbing and he's saying, I could have done more. I could have done more. I should have done more. He said, these cufflinks on my shirt, I could have sold them. And I could have purchased two more Jews. I could have sold my car, and I probably could have saved 20 or 25 more Jews. I should have done more. And he comes to the realization in that moment. I want you to know, you've already done so much. But today, I'm going to ask you, we're going to pray right now. And I'm going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit what he wants you to do in this next 12 months for missions. Okay, can we do that? So I want you to just bow your head where you're at. Lord, right now I pray that you would speak to people very clearly about what you want them to do for missions this year. Lord, having done this for all of these years of my life, I understand that sometimes you give us a number that's scary. But that's why we call it a faith promise commitment. Because if you're telling it to us, if you're sharing it with us, then you're going to provide the resources for it. It rests on you, not us. And so, Lord, would you just help us today? Would you just help us? And now I want you to just listen to the voice of the Spirit. What does he want you to do? All right, if you take your card, we're going to fill it out together. I know many of you say, well, how could I stretch to give a faith promise commitment? Do you know there's all kinds of things that you can do? We talked about Starbucks earlier. Many of you, I shouldn't rat her out like this, but I'm going to. My wife goes to Starbucks 5 days a week. Every day she's got to have her Starbucks going to work. You know, maybe you're like that. But maybe this year you could say, I'm only going to do Starbucks 3 times a week. And the other 2 days, I'm going to take that $5 for that cup of coffee and I'm going to put it in my missions fund. That would be $10 a week. Times four, that'd be $40 a month that you could give to missions. And you probably wouldn't even miss that cup of coffee or 2 cups of coffee, right? As a family, get your children involved and say, you know what, kids? We go out to dinner a lot. One time a month, we're not going to go out to dinner. We're going to take that money and we're going to give it to missions instead, and we're going to stay at home. You see, there are all kinds of things that you could do. Maybe you're used to buying your lunch at work every day. Well, maybe you could brown bag it a couple days. Take a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something and give that money that you would have spent on lunch, which is going to be $5 or $6 or $7 or $8 or $9 a day. And you know what? 2 days a week, you're going to give that to missions. All kinds of different things you can do. Let the Holy Spirit show you what you can do and be creative. And then let him bring it to you as well. Remember, he brings it to you so it can flow through you. All right? So take your card, and up on the screen, they're going to put an example of the card. And the first thing I want you to do, by the way, if you need a pen to fill out your card, the ushers are coming down the aisles. Just raise your hand, get their attention. They'll make sure that you have a pen today. And I want everybody to participate. Look, it doesn't matter how small the amount. I am a believer in this, 100% participation. I have seen over the years when everybody participates, God multiplies that number. And the results are amazing. So it doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how large, every gift is important and valuable. Let's have 100% participation. So the first thing I want you to do is in the line that says name, print your first and last name, if you would, so it's legible. And you can fill in your address information if you don't think that we have it or if it's changed. But go ahead and do that right now, okay? Just print your first and last name on this card. Then the second thing that I want you to do is on the card, you'll notice that there's 2 boxes right in the middle there. One says weekly faith promise, the other says monthly faith promise. And what I'd like you to do is check one of those boxes. Most people, as I said earlier, probably choose to give monthly rather than weekly. It's just a lot easier, okay? But it's up to you. It's however you wanna do it. But check one of those boxes and then put next to it the number that you're gonna give, what your pledge is, either weekly or monthly, okay? So go ahead and do that right now. And I'll give you a moment to do that. Whatever the Holy Spirit's been speaking to your heart about, okay? And then I'm gonna ask you to do something, and there's no place for it on this card, okay? So you're just gonna write it in anywhere in the white space along the bottom, just so we know it. I want you to write the word total, and then put an equal sign, and then take either your weekly giving and times it by 52, or your monthly giving and times it by 12, and put a total number there for the year. So it just says total equals whatever for the year. That way, we're absolutely sure that we're speaking the same language, that we know what your pledge is, okay? It'll also make it easier for us. We won't have to add those all up, but you've done that work, so it makes, so you're sure of what you've done, okay? And that's how you fill out your faith promise commitment. Then there's one more little interesting part. You'll notice, or maybe you haven't noticed, that this card is perforated. And so down at the end here, there's a little portion that you can tear off. This portion is for you. So on this little piece, write down what your missions commitment was for this year so you don't forget it, and put it in a place that you'll see it. Maybe that's in your Bible, maybe that's in the mirror in your bathroom, wherever it is that you can access this. This is your part to keep, and then this is the part that we're going to collect in just a moment, okay? Is everybody good with that? Everybody clear? Everybody had a chance, an opportunity to do that? All right, then what we're gonna do to conclude our service this morning is I'm gonna ask you all to stand if you would. And Pastor Brock is gonna sing a song. And as he sings this song, I'm gonna ask you to bring your faith promise commitment to the altar and just lay it face down on the altar today. You say, well, why are you asking us to do that? I guess I'm just old school. I believe that there is power to action. That when we make spiritual declarations, and we're making a spiritual declaration with this commitment today, we're saying, devil, we're putting you on notice that we are taking this gospel to the nations. We are doing now with our money what we sang about earlier. We are speaking to the nations and say, be free. We are speaking to the strongholds and say, you must come down. We are speaking to the powers of darkness and say, you must flee, because we are taking the light to the nations. And I think there's something powerful that happens in our hearts. And I think it's a powerful statement to the kingdom of darkness when we step forward and we make our commitment. And so as we sing the song, I'm going to ask you to step forward with your card whenever you're ready during the song and just place it face down on the altar here and then return to your seat, and we'll have a closing prayer, all right, Pastor Brock? We bring to you all of our commitments to missions for this year. And God, I am praying that you will bless your people in incredible ways this year. God, I'm praying that because of the step of faith they've taken, that you're gonna bless their finances, that God, you're gonna resource them. You're gonna provide everything that is needed for them to fulfill these commitments. Because Lord, you value lost things. And we've demonstrated today, Lord, that we too value lost things. And we wanna see our world, we want to see every person in it be able to make a decision because they've heard your name. They've been presented the gospel. So Lord, bless your people. I thank you that this is a church with a missions heart, evidenced by what was given last Sunday and evidenced by what was given on Wednesday and the offerings to our missionaries. Lord, I just thank you so much for what you're doing and accomplishing in this weekend. Lord, help us to have the best missions year ever at Life Church this year. For your glory, we ask and we pray these things, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for watching our program today. We really hope it blessed you. You know, the Bible tells us that all of us need a Savior. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, today, if you're sitting there watching this program and you don't know where you stand with God, if you were to die today, you know, would you go to heaven? Would you not go to heaven? Now, we want to help you make sure. The Bible goes on to tell us that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, Jesus came for that very purpose. And so today I'd love to pray with you to call on the name of the Lord and make him your God, to let him forgive you of your sin and get in right relationship with him. So if that's you today and you want to give your heart back to God or maybe to him for the first time, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God, thank you that you see me just as I am. I know I've sinned and I need a Savior. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. I give you all of my life. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer today, we know because the Bible says it, God heard it. We would love to help you any way we can in your walk with Jesus. And if you contact us through our website, let us know that you prayed that prayer, or call us at our church offices. We would love to give you some resources and tools to help you with your walk with Jesus. If you don't have a home church, we want to invite you to one of our campuses. Check out our website, look at our church locations and times, see which one works best for you. Thank you again for watching the program. God bless you. Have a great week.